Lectionary reading on this second Sunday of Advent comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning with verse 1. Listen for the word of the Lord. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, straight in the desert, a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. And the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. John was in the wilderness calling for the people to be baptized. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up and do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I think according to Hollywood, they recognize something going on in the culture, and so they are saying time and again, it is a time for heroes. You can see it in the movies. Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, the whole Justice League. That's just in the DC universe. And there's the Marvel universe with Iron Man, Spider-Man, Black Widow, the Incredible Hulk. They're soon going to meet the Guardians of the Galaxy, not to mention the X-Men. I have to tell you, frankly, I like my heroes a bit more realistic. Star Trek. Those are my heroes. Star Trek. Particularly the Voyager series, maybe a little with Jean-Luc Picard, because they face the biggest threat ever, the Borg. The Borg is this giant cube. I mean, it just keeps on growing and growing as it spins through space. The Borg is this giant cube that do not kill their enemies. They assimilate them. Literally and figuratively, they get inside their opponent's head, and their enemies start to think just like the Borg. You become a drone. No thoughts of your own. You think what everyone else in the cube thinks. It is a horrible thing to be assimilated. And why am I talking about Star Trek on the second Sunday of Advent? Well, I'll get to that in a minute, I promise. But for right now, I want to talk about Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah and the biblical message. The Bible pictures people of faith as people on a way, on the journey, moving, traveling. God is their ruler, their king, their sovereign, and God gives them God's solemn promise. If the people of faith will go with God on this journey, that God will go with them. God initiates the idea of the journey, and you see it all the way back to Abraham and Sarah, there in her barrenness, and God says, if you will get up and go, you will have children. You see it in the times of Moses and the slaves in Egypt, where God says to them in the midst of their oppression and weeping and slavery, God says, if you will get up and go and follow where I am going, then you too will be blessed. And so they're led out of bondage, out of barrenness, out of oppression, out of being strangers in a strange land, and they're taken on a long journey. God initiates the journey, but God promises to go with them on that journey, to a place where there is well-being, where there is shalom, a land of milk and honey, the Bible says, where there's feeding and sweetness. Manna for the journey is provided along the way, and honey and milk at the end when they arrive at what can best be termed their new home. The faithful follow where God leads. And you see it time and time again in the Bible. The Exodus from Egypt in particular, you see 40 years in the wilderness because it takes them a long time to get the slavery out of their head and to move into this new understanding of who God is as God rules over them. It's not all perfect in the promised land. The people are not perfect, but God is with them and he keeps on leading them, helping them to grow and understand. And they find a sense of blessing in the land that God promised. They love this new land, the promised land, where they live. But something goes wrong. Their good became a god. The land that they loved became more important than the Lord. And they wanted more and more land. And with more land, they wanted more and more security. So they organized great cities and great armies and great systems of domination. And in the end, they forgot. They forgot. The land was a gift. They forgot it was a gift of God's promise. And when they forgot the gift, they forgot God and they forgot God's commands. Because God's commands tell them to be a particular people in this place, to live in particular ways. When they forgot and just started to worship the land, their gratitude was supplanted by greed. Their compassion turned into selfishness. The covenant was reduced to control. And they began to think that power came from their hand. They forgot about God. They forgot about the gift. What does forgetting about God look like? Well, you can see it in the commands that God gives in Exodus chapter 20 and 21 and beyond. God makes demands of God's people. God is king and God will not be mocked. You need to follow the commands. You've been given power, but the power is to be used for living in particular ways, to care for the widows and orphans, to be a people of compassion, to be people who care about the poor, who show hospitality to the strangers in your midst. But these people forgot about the commandments. Like that commandment that says, honor thy father and thy mother that your days may be long in the land. Well, honor is more than respect. Honor is making sure there's a system of care for them when they're old. And when they get Alzheimer's, you don't let them just wander off into the desert. Honor is recognizing that the elderly are going to face dementia and Alzheimer's and osteoporosis and deafness and blindness and stroke. And you don't just put them in a warehouse and let them fade away. Honoring the elderly is about building a system, a land of care and compassion, and it is a demand of God. God will not be mocked. When God is forgotten in the arrogance of the people, they lose the land that they loved. Israel thought that exile could happen to anybody else but not to them because God was on their side, but God shows them, if you are not on God's side, that God will not protect. And Babylon comes calling. This foreign power, Babylon, comes calling, and God will not protect the people who have forgotten God. So their leaders are blinded and led away in chains, and the top echelon of their society is taken into exile in Babylon. Many were left behind, but they live now under Babylonian rule. They're not exiles in the way that the other people were, they're internal exiles. And it looked like this. They would have two reactions to living under Babylonian rule. They could give up and just be hopeless and cynical the rest of their lives. Or a more common response, you will be assimilated. I told you I'd get back to Star Trek, right? Okay. You will be assimilated and you will start in this system of Babylon to think like a Babylon. You're going to see like a Babylonian, act like a Babylonian, live like a Babylonian. You will be assimilated into Babylonian culture. Last week we talked about ideology, forming a worldview, and that an ideology is a worldview that can't be penetrated by other thoughts or other ideas. That's part of what happens in Babylon. And it seems to be a hopeless end. But that's not the end of the story for us, because Israel is aware over time of another presence, a presence made clear to them by the haunting, harsh, shrill, and uncompromising words of the prophets. The prophets who have the freedom to speak outside of the Babylonian ideology or Egyptian ideology or any other ideology. They speak the word of Israel's life and purpose, that its life is not its own, that there is a moral coherence to the universe. It is God's moral coherence, and God will not be mocked. And this God, who was free to leave, is also free to love, to come back to them and to build them up again. So God gives the prophets first a word of destruction, and then God gives the prophets a word of hope, a new word that in the hostile Babylonian environment, Yahweh is yet king. The good news uttered in public is that there is a power, a presence, a purpose that is the gift of a particular God. The prophet Isaiah gives the good news that the fraudulent government of Babylon and the world is terminated. And so you have psalms like Psalm 26, where it says, "The heavens and the earth and the sea and the fields and the trees sing for joy, joy to the world," right there in the psalms. And it's not just good news for the few. It's not just good news for Israel. It's good news for the world. To the exiles, the prophets speak, "Build a way, build a highway in the wilderness." Not long ago, I was out driving on Highway 2. I don't know about you, but I love Highway 2. Going east out of Lincoln, it's great. It's broad, the traffic's pretty reasonable. Lots of trees and fields and flowing streams as you pass over. Okay, let's be candid. On Highway 2, you can really make time, okay? To those of us who are chronologically challenged, this is often a very good thing. So I like Highway 2 until you get to Nebraska City. Nebraska City, there's that big dip in the road, and you've got the crossroad and the traffic light, and somehow every time I get to that traffic light, it conspires against me and makes me even later. But I went through not long ago, and it's all changed. It's in the process of changing because, you see, the valley has been lifted up and the hilltops have been brought down. And I looked at it and I thought as I was driving past, this is an Isaiah moment. Build a highway. An interstate is really what the Bible is talking about. It means God wants to make time because God is in a hurry. Take all the valleys, which is to say all the people who are in the valleys of life, and all the desperate people who need a sense of hope, and lift them up because God is on his way. Take all those mountains, which is to say all those Babylonians with the arrogance of their ideology, and warn them what God is about to do, which is to say bring them down if they do not, as John the Baptist says, if they do not repent and turn their lives and world around. Build an interstate for your God. Make it broad. Because God has big plans, and God intends to be broadly inclusive. So you're going to need to make room on the road for the formerly unincluded. Make it level, because God is about justice, and God is in a hurry to hear the cries of the oppressed, to know the hurting, the helpless, the hopeless, and to know that they cannot wait any longer. Make it level because that justice of God is coming. And get those Babylonian thoughts that have assimilated into your head, get them out of our heads and out of our lives, because we will not be assimilated to Babylon or anyone else, because we are God's people. And our God has led us and is leading us and will lead us on a journey of hope. And the hope is a promise, and God's promise will not be denied. A new world is coming. It comes in a barn on Christmas morning, a new day dawning. God will walk among us. So it is our call from the prophets. Prepare the way. Prepare the way. Prepare the way for the joy that God will bring to us and to all the world. Amen.